What's going on, guys? My name is Tucker Bierman, owner and operator of Refined Talent Design. Here on the Refining Exchange podcast, we're going to discuss some of the pillars of leadership and how that impacts and plays a part in your faith, family, business, and your personal life. So let's get into it. All right. Final episode of this series, this leadership series, is building hope. So hope for me is based on fulfillment of an intention. What will become of our hard work? How do we teach our team? How do we teach, you know, the people around us that, hey, hard work's going to pay off, even when, and we kind of spoke about this in the Bearing Pain episode, even when things hit the fan, even when things are hard and we're learning into the, leaning into those learnings, you know what I mean? Hey, this hard work, this season will pay off, et cetera. This will pay off for you because, and it's a time delay, but it will pay off, and get excited, get fired up for that. So what does building hope look like for you? What does it mean to you?
Yeah. So I've got an advantage over many of our listeners, right? So again, Wilmington leaders, Greater Cincinnati leaders, Dayton, Ohio leaders, right? Our friends that lead organizations. I've got a huge advantage in that I was brought up in a home where my mom modeled hope every day. So my father, as you know, your grandfather was chronically ill. I think he started getting, I was 6 years old, I think, maybe three, when he started his decline with his health, and he had cancer and strokes and all kinds of problems, and ended up having 13 strokes, and the 13th was a brainstem that he ended up in, as you remember, in my mom's living room in a hospital bed. And so my mom displayed, like, it was hard, like, growing up, man, it was uncertainty, you know. We'd come home anyway, it was tough, it was hard. We never knew, but, you know, I said goodbye to my dad a dozen times. I thought he was going to die before he died. And so my mom modeled hope, though. Like, you know, she would, like, we lived our lives, and it was a joyful life. We celebrated everything to celebrate, and we mourned everything to mourn. And so she modeled, I think, Tucker, a really healthy attitude of hope. It's like, you know what? Like, this sucks right now, but we're going to, you know, we're looking forward to something in the future. So again, you know, I feel bad for a lot of my friends when they're going through challenges and they didn't have an advantage like I did growing up where that was modeled. And so for me, it was, you know, more caught than taught, right? So my mom modeled it, so it was more natural for me. I don't think it's as natural for a lot of my friends. So we actually have to help teach them, right? So as leaders, we got to help lead and influence change, right? Be the change with our friends that need some. I've got a coworker, that David Booz, that I challenge him a lot about API, assume positive intent, right? He's just naturally more of a glasses half full guy. And so he's trying to learn how to become a glasses half or half empty guy. He's trying to learn how to be a glasses half full guy. So we're teaching him the API, right? Assume positive intent. And I think hope's a lot like API, Tucker. Is like, you know, right now this sucks, but what might happen in the future that would be good? Like, can you assume or can you project into the future? And right now you might not be, like, right now this is the shit show and you might not be able to make sense of it. But I love what Rick Meyer says, owner of Meyer Brothers and Sons here in Greater Cincinnati. When he's talking to clients and they're starting to lose hope because of a problem or because of a series of problems that we experience in the remodeling business, he'll say to the client, hey, we can still get there from here. Hey, just to remind you, we got this. This is a problem. We're going to fix it. I don't even know how we're going to fix it yet, Mr. Customer, but we can still get there from here, meaning we're going to get to the finish line. You're going to end up with a beautiful addition. You're going to end up with a beautiful home. And at the end of it, I can promise you it's going to be worth it. So leaders can cast vision that something good's going to happen. But now, if the listener is somebody that's like, my proclivity, my default is like David, glasses half empty, what do you do? And it might even be good for some of your listeners that are more positive and optimistic and hopeful. But one of the things that we've learned to do ourselves, Tucker, and we encourage other leaders to do, is put it in your calendar. Again, calendarize, whether it's weekly. If you need it weekly, do it weekly. If you need it daily, put in your calendar every day, you know, get your journal and do the gratitude journal. Like, if you start thinking about things you're grateful for, or things you're optimistic for, you'll start becoming optimistic. It sounds ridiculous, but it's true. You all know that's true, right? If you need it every day, frick, do it every day. If you need it once a week, do it once a week. And acknowledge good, like right now. And even if you can't see how this is going to end up good, like this is a really bad situation. I don't even know how it's going to end up good, but I'm going to choose to be hopeful and I'm going to write it down and date it so I can look back on it and start identifying, auditing. You can start auditing the good things that came from it. So I think that's, again, some of the habits or some of the things that you can do to influence and control your hope and optimism.
Yeah, that's really good. Well, and we actually had this conversation a week or two ago, and I was telling you about, you know, how I can't remember who it was, but was talking about he hated journaling, right? So Haley, my wife, has encouraged me to journal. I've gotten encouraged by pastors or mentors to journal, right? Get it down on paper, because our minds, our brains, our thoughts, right, are so all over the place. But I struggle with journaling. I'm not a big writer. You know, I'm not a big reader. I listen to audibles. And that's how I get books in. And so I heard this, that someone was talking about this and they're like, get a recorder, right? Think how weird this is. Get a recorder, yeah. Which I got, and say the good stuff and listen to it. Say the bad stuff and listen to it and hear it out, right? Good is good, and you don't want to get too high. But you need to remind yourself maybe in some low times of, hey, we're on the right track. Hear the bad and get reminded of that. So one, call it out, right? This is current. This is not forever. You know, like Rick says, we'll get there from here. But then say, hey, I'm not going to take this as my truth right now. Now, tomorrow, when it gets better, or next week, when you have a win or that situation with the client or at work gets kind of rectified, play that back and see how obviously the power of the mind, the power of the spirit plays into that. And we can get, that's a whole nother topic there, but right. Play that back and be like, oh, I got that. That's not that bad. You know what I mean? I got here from there. And you start to, again, as you build up an endurance, and we talked about in the last episode, what Huberman talks about, the some sort of cortex where you kind of build up this willpower. You build up the endurance of, hey, I can keep my heart rate in a resting heart rate, and I can react, you know, in the next situation where I would usually get fired up, anxious, scared, I can handle it. And so you start to build up, you know, some endurance there. And then the other piece to this I love that I struggle with that you've taught me, another really, you know, a really good lesson that you've taught me is celebrate. And so, hey, you hit a goal, you hit this achievement, celebrate it, because one, you guys put in the work, right? Let's just say for the context of this conversation, right, our team hits a sales goal, or we close a deal, or we build a partnership with a client that's been working on, right? Yeah. Let's celebrate that. Let's, you know what I mean? We worked hard. I just want to affirm that in public in front of the rest of the team, or, you know what I mean? Let's go out to a nice dinner and celebrate. Whatever it is, because hope is built on the trust that the hard work you put in will come to fruition. And if we forget as leaders, which I often do, and I'm working on this as a young leader, I was trained in corporate America type environment where it's like, hey, it's January. Our sales goal is this. As soon as you hit it, it's on to next month. There's no celebration other than, you know, a nicer paycheck, but there's no stop. It's all go. It's all next. And so I was trained for 3 to 4 years on that. So as I'm trying to pull back the curtains on that, change my philosophy as I have my own business now, it is, oh, wait, let's celebrate. Let's enjoy that. So anyway, building hope, right? It's the celebration. When things are hard next month, I need and want my team to remember last month and how it was both hard and rewarding when we hit those goals.
And I think with that, I think hope in the process, right? So I believe in celebrating as well. I think it's really important, but celebrating isn't the finality of it, right? So it's like the process. Like, so when you have hope, you know, if you can, again, we talked about it in the previous episode about the narratives you tell yourself. If you have hope in the process, right? So even if your sales start over, right, which ours do, right? Every month we start over at zero again. And but we stay to the process. Like, and so it's like your physical fitness. You know, if you train for a marathon and you have hope that you can finish the marathon, you train for a marathon, but you don't fall in love with the process. You just fall in love with the result, which you do want to celebrate the marathon. But I think with the hope piece is like, force yourself to be hopeful of the process. Like, because when the marathon's over, you know what I'm going to do? The worst day for one of the reasons I took up swimming is the worst day is the day after a marathon. Not because of the pain you're in, but because if you're doing anything with your legs, you can't work out. Like you have to take a day. Like if you run a 26.2 miles, you cannot go run the next day. And that's a terrible day for me, is to say, hey, Jerry, you can't go work out. And so the beauty of swimming is that I get to go swim. You know, and people are like, take a day off. It's like, why would you punish me? Why would you punish me by taking a day off? I don't want to take a day off. That's a punishment, because I have hope in the process. And I think that's, you know, again, whether it's, you know, depending on, look at your business and think about the processes that you need to develop. So for us, we're in an ambition in 24 to be like, we need to figure out as an organization, how do we attract, how do we train, and how do we, with the goal to retain great talent, right? So as a company, Dakota and I and our leadership team were like, by God, we're going to figure this out this year. And we have hope in the process. Like, we're building processes that we're hopeful that we'll learn from, that will enable us to build culture and training systems and onboarding practices, that we can be a company that attracts great talent, that we can be an organization that trains great talent with the goal long term that we retain great talent. And so I think hope is beyond the finish line, right? So I think, I don't know how clear that is to your listeners, but like, my encouragement would be like, get hopeful about the process that's beyond a finish line. So when you celebrate an accomplishment, you might look at that as a finish line, but what I want to be hopeful in is the process that's beyond the finish line. Does that make sense, Tuck?
100% makes sense. And it's really good, because that's what I battle. And that's the reason why I was taught not to celebrate, right? You don't want your team to slow down and enjoy the process, because you're going to, you know, get out of routine that led to the success. That's what scares me so much about, like, and that's my innate, that's what's been trained. That's what I have to unpack. That's what I have to work through. But how do we celebrate while, like you're saying, falling in love with the process? And that's, hey, building hope. That's what we're tasked with as leaders, is hope in the process and making sure we're signing up for that.
Yeah.
The best analogy, and we're throwing these stories around, and you're a great storyteller. And I'm sure as we continue this podcast series and kind of roll into the next couple or next few,
yeah,
the cold plunge is such a good analogy, because you have a 10-minute time period that really explains all of these situations that we're talking about, right? I wake up every morning and the first thing I do is go down and I get my cold plunge. Yep. And I wake up every morning, right? Pull the top off the cold plunge. I look at the water and I'm like, frick, this is going to suck, right? That's a feeling. That's an emotion. And then I choose to get in, and I get in, and guess what? It does really suck every time.
Sucks the air right out of your lungs, man. Yeah.
Sucks the air right out of you. And in that 3 minutes, right, you go from, you know, sucking the first 30 seconds to becoming numb, to becoming, oh, I could probably sit in here a little while.
Yeah.
Before you start shivering and get forced out, right? And then afterwards, for me, I don't know about for you, but afterwards is the most pain. But yet, and they talk about the dopamine release, right? And yet I am so excited. I'm like, dang, I just achieved that. But I can't get that feeling unless I get in the cold plunge, unless I choose to do it. It's such a great analogy. And it's good. What we're tasked with as leaders, right, is to, hey, here's the mission. Fall in love with it. Don't skip a day. Show up every day. Be consistent. You know, adhere to you know, what we're doing and what we're, you know, training you to do, coaching you to do, what have you. And the results are going to pay off, and it's going to be really awesome.
Well, and you look at a lot of tools that we use. So, you know, we're EOS. I like to believe that we're EOS purists, but John Herman was our implementer, and I know Kevin Raines is your implementer. And two very good friends of mine. And one of the things they've taught us through EOS is that we start all our meetings, our L10, our quarterlies, our same page, the same way. It's like, tell me one personal thing that's going good and one business thing that's going good. It's like, you know, like there's a lot of people, heck, a lot smarter than I am, that are like coaching me to be like, hey, spend time being, it's a gratitude journal, right? It's like spend the time to say, hey, what's one personal thing that's going on good, Jerry? Well, my wife and I came to Florida for 6 weeks. I'm sitting in the sun right now doing a podcast. That's good. What's one business thing that's going good? You know, I've got a leadership team back in Cincinnati that are leading the organization. I don't need to be present. That's a good thing, right? Dakota's learning how to build an onboarding system that attracts, trains, and retains great talent. That's a good thing. So, you know, we've got a lot of examples of things that if we just do it and pay attention to why we're doing it, like think about EOS. Why do they start every meeting with, you know, go through one personal thing that's going good and one business thing that's going good? It's to recalibrate you to be hopeful, right? So it's good stuff, man.
That's good. I'm glad you brought it up, because these three episodes that we're recording, we haven't brought up EOS yet. And it really is, man. That's been a huge part of our journey. Obviously, I know yours as well, from building our company. I implemented it, you know, in my family, believe it or not. That was a tough sell right there. But it really does. Like you said, it starts each conversation with the positives. There's accountability there. And it's, hey, let me take a deep breath. How much of leadership when we're trying to coach our team and stuff causes confusion, or, you know what I mean? It's just, you're throwing out a lot of ideas and you're trying to figure out what's going to stick. Well, EOS really allows you to focus, help your team focus on those 3 to 5 things, sign up for that process versus saying, hey, Jerry's crazy. He's got all these wild ideas. Hey, Tucker's crazy. He's got all these wild ideas. It's like, hey, we're still going to come back to these main 3 to 5 things in this quarter, in this season. And again, building hope, these are going to pay off, guys. They're going to pay off for the team. So seeing that kind of come together, EOS is awesome for that. And yeah, I mean, it helps the outcome. So that's really good stuff. Anything to add to that?
Nope, it's good.
Cool. Thanks for taking the time. That's a great way to close it out. And we'll see you on the next one. Just wanted to say thank you guys for listening in. We hope you enjoyed the podcast, got something from it, something tangible that you can take with you and apply right away. We're looking forward to catching you on the next one.